Quite a bit of my reading this morning is going to be from the Book of Mormon. I want to begin in the second chapter of Mosiah. And I don't think that these times that they were in is a whole lot different than the ones that we're in right today. A little different circumstances and so on. But the same attitude of the people. I think I'll read the first two verses to begin with. And now it came to pass that when King Benjamin had made an end of the speaking, the words which he had been delivered unto him by an angel of the Lord, he did cast his eyes round about the multitude, and behold, they had fallen to the earth, for fear of the Lord had came upon them, and they viewed themselves in their own carnal state, even less than the dust of the earth. Now these people had been pretty wicked, and a riotous type people, and the Spirit of the Lord had given King Benjamin the words to say here, and they heard them and took heed unto them. And I think that this is what would be a marvelous thing if it could happen today, is to be able to reach the people of the world and cause them that they should realize that all is not well and that they needed to repent. I'm going to skip down now to the 7th verse. And King Benjamin again opened his mouth and began to speak unto them, saying, My friends and my brethren, my kindred and my people, I would again call your attention that you may hear and understand the remainder of the words which I shall speak unto you. He wanted their attention that they might hear these words. For behold, if the knowledge of the goodness of God at this time has awakened you to a sense of your nothingness and your worthless and fallen state, I say unto you, if ye have come to a knowledge of this goodness of God and his matchless power and his wisdom and his patience and long suffering toward the children of men, and also the atonement which has been prepared from the foundation of the world, that thereby salvation might come unto him that should put his trust in the Lord and should be diligent in keeping his commandments and continue in the faith even unto the end of his life, I mean unto the life of this mortal body, I say that this is a man that receiveth salvation through the atonement which was prepared from the foundation of the world for all mankind which ever were since the fall of Adam, and who are or ever shall be even unto the end of the world. And this is the means whereby salvation cometh. We have got to become a humble people, and we've got to be aware of the fact that the Lord has prepared a way for us. And unless we turn to this thing, we can't avail ourselves of this great promise that he's made to us. It is a sad thing to think that the large part of the world isn't aware of this. I want to drop on down here and read a couple more verses. It's well to read this entire reading, even the first and the second chapter of Mosiah here, because it sure gives us a lot of good information. And again, believe that ye must repent of your sins and forsake them, and humble yourselves before God and ask in sincerity of your hearts that he would forgive you. And now, if you believe all these things, what does he say? See that you do them. Now, that's the important thing, isn't it? In that 16th verse there, believe that ye must repent of your sins and forsake them. Now, what would forsake something mean? That's not to do them anymore, isn't it? And we have got to turn away from the things that we're not doing this right and turn back to the things that are of the Lord. And when we do this, we've got to see that we do them. Now I want to go over into the 21st verse. And humble yourselves even in the depths of humility, calling on the name of the Lord daily. Now this doesn't give us just a Monday or a Tuesday, but every day, doesn't it? Call on the Lord daily. And standing steadfast in the faith of that which is to come, which was spoken by the mouth of an angel. He's telling the people that they've got to remain steadfastly. They've been told things and they've got to be aware of it. The same as we have today, we know what is to come and we've got to believe in it and we've got to stay steadfast in it. And behold, I say unto you that if ye do this, ye shall always rejoice. You're going to be able to always rejoice if you're doing these things and be filled with the love of God and always retain a mission of your sins. Now that's pretty important, isn't it? And ye shall grow in the knowledge of the glory of him that created you, or in the knowledge of that which is just and true. And I think these next verses are very important. You will not have a mind to injure one another. Now, what do you suppose that means? We're not going to have a mind to injure one another. What would that mean? Well, somebody might go out here and shoot somebody. That isn't necessarily it. You're not going to have a desire to hurt anyone, are you? You're not going to lay your hands on them, are you? No, you're not going to injure one another. But to live peaceably. Now, what does that mean, peaceably? And to render to every man according to that which is due. We're not going to injure one another, and we're going to live peaceably one with another. And that is very important. And here it goes a little farther. And you will not suffer your children that they go hungry or naked. All right, you're going to have a responsibility to your children, aren't you? And we know in the scripture it tells us to honor thy father and thy mother, so we know that the children have an obligation to their parents, don't they? But the parents also have an obligation to their children, that they shouldn't go hungry or naked. And they're telling them there that you should take care of your children. This is very important. Neither will you suffer that they transgress the laws of God and fight and quarrel one with another. All right, there isn't to be fighting and quarreling, is there? And to serve the devil. Now, when you fight and quarrel, what are you doing? You're serving the devil, who is the master of sin. Now, this is a good thing to think of. Now, if you're fighting and quarreling, Satan is entering in, isn't he? Or who is the evil spirit which hath spoken unto thy fathers, being an enemy to all righteousness. It tells us here that we have got to forsake those things. We're not going to have a desire to harm one another. Now we know that there has been times that a person has had to defend themselves. But we shouldn't be the one that strikes out. We know that this nation in 1941 had to defend itself. And we did defend ourselves. But we surely shouldn't seek to do these things with an attitude that isn't pleasing to God. We know that there was people in the world that desired to rule it. We know that there's people today that does this. Not just in a country or a nation, but right in a community. People that want to dominate other people. Now here's something that you should teach your children. But you will teach them to walk in the ways of truth and soberness. Yea, you will teach them to love one another and to serve one another. Now, quite a responsibility, isn't it? And I think that goes for all mankind, just not in your own families, but one another. This encompasses all of us. And we've got a great duty one to another to help each other. I want to go back into the previous chapter of Mosiah and read a few verses also. It's strange, you'll start reading maybe in one place in the Book of Mormon and another, and you think, well, surely there can't be much better scripture than what we find right here. But it seems like every time you read in a different book, you find these important messages to us. I want to read in the first chapter here, beginning of the 73rd verse. But, O my people, beware lest there shall arise contentions among you, and you list to obey the evil spirit which was spoken of by my father Mosiah. How many times in the scriptures tell us not to obey this spirit that isn't good? For behold, there is a woe pronounced upon him who listeth to obey this spirit. And if he listeth to obey him, and remaineth and dieth in his sins, the same drinketh damnation to his soul. For he receiveth for his wages an everlasting punishment, having transgressed the law of God contrary to his own knowledge. Here it tells people not to go astray. And especially our group here, because we have an awful lot of knowledge. But I think of the people of the world that are living righteously, and a good many of them know better than this, and how sorrowful it is that they can't avail themselves to the many things that God has promised he would provide for them. I want to go over here into the 119th verse of this same chapter. And I guess this is where we all stand and where we have got to make our decision and turn from it. For the natural man is an enemy to God. The natural man is an enemy to God and has been from the fall of Adam and will be forever and ever. Now, there's a way to overcome that, though, isn't there? But if he yields to the enticings of the Holy Spirit and putteth off the natural man and becometh a saint through the atonement of Christ the Lord, and becometh as a child, submissive, meek, humble, patient, full of love, willing to submit to all things which the Lord seeth fit to inflict upon him, even as a child submit to his father. And moreover, I say unto you that the time shall come when the knowledge of the Savior shall spread throughout every nation, kindred tongue and people. And behold, when the time cometh, none shall be found blameless before God, except little children only. Only through repentance and faith on the name of the Lord God omnipotent. Oh yes, we can be found blameless if we turn to the Lord and walk uprightly. You're not an enemy of God then, but the natural man is. And how do you overcome that natural man? This means you've got to resist these things that come into your lives that try to lead us astray. And how many there is, I have no idea. Today, they have a radio or a television station, Q, that have picture or movies, I guess it is, I've never seen one of them, that they don't feel is decent to put on the other stations. Or is a special program. Maybe some of them are better and are special, and they put them on this one station. But oftentimes on this Q station, it is indecent programs. And you know, I can't imagine what they can show on television that would be more indecent than some of it they're showing right now. I don't believe people should pay too much attention to those things. If you spend a lot of time watching these shows, many of them don't lead you to the Lord. They just simply do not. So I think we should stay away from most of the shows, and we should be very selective of what we're going to watch. It's strange that if such a great device as television could have such two great folds, or two ways it could go. That could be the great educator and lifting the souls up and telling people of what they should do, or it can tear them down. And we've got to watch that we don't get into that one side which is going to lead us to destruction. And every time, and even at this time, when thou shalt have taught the people the things which the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, even then are they found no more blameless in the sight of God, only according to the words which I have spoken thee. And now I have spoken the words which the Lord God hath commanded me. And thus saith the Lord, they shall stand as a bright testimony against the people in judgment day. Therefore they shall be judged, every man according to his works, whether they be good or be evil. And if they be evil, they are consigned to that awful view of their own guilt and abomination, which doth cause them to shrink from the presence of the Lord. And that would be a terrible thing. In a state of misery and endless torment, from whence they can no more return. Therefore they drank damnation to their own souls. And surely people should do their very best to avoid this type of thing. Therefore, they have drank out of the cup of the cup of the which God, the wrath of God, which justice could no more deny, which justice could no more deny unto them than they could, than it could deny that Adam should fall because of the partaking of the forbidden fruit. Therefore, mercy could have claim on them no more forever. And the torment, and their torment is as a lake of fire and brimstone, whose flames are unquenchable, and whose smoke ascendeth up forever. Thus hath the Lord commanded me. Amen. Now this is a pretty harsh thing to say to the people. These are the things that come upon those that turn away and don't follow after the ways of the Lord. I want to go over here into Helaman for a few verses. In the third chapter, beginning with the 127th verse, and this isn't, in a way, isn't a whole lot different from what they've said other places. Therefore Nephi did declare unto them the word of the Lord, saying, Except ye repent, thus saith the Lord, ye shall be smitten even unto destruction. And it came to pass that when Nephi had declared unto them the word, behold, they did still harden their hearts and would not hearken unto his words. Now what has happened here? He spoke to them and told them, but they hardened their hearts, they wouldn't listen to it. They didn't want to hear the truth. And this is a case of a lot of times in the world today. People do not want to hear the truth. One fellow once said, he said, the truth isn't palatable. You know, lots of times people want to hear what makes them happy. And you, in the government, you tell them that things aren't well. People don't want to hear that. In a business, you say, no, things aren't going too good. They don't want to hear it. They want to hear pleasant words saying, oh, everything is fine, just continue on. But they had hardened their hearts and would not hearken unto his words. Therefore, they did revile against him and did seek to lay their hands upon him and to cast him into prison. Now here was a righteous man, and my goodness, how righteous he must have been. Here they was going to lay their hands on him and cast him into prison. But what happened? But behold, the power of the Lord was with him, and they could not take him or cast him into prison. For he was taken by the Spirit and conveyed away out of the midst of them. Quite a wonderful thing. You know, that's what this gospel is all about, that we might be that righteous, that we can expect that type of protection and guidance. Here he was just literally carried away from them. They couldn't lay their hands on him. We know times there was men that their hands was laid upon and they were killed. But that wasn't the Lord's will here. And it came to pass that thus he did go forth in the Spirit from multitude to multitude, declaring the word of God, even until he had declared it unto them all, and sent them forth, or set it forth among them. He seen that they got the word. But it's a wonderful thing that if the people will hear these words, they can be blessed. But here, at this particular time, they were turning away from it. They were trying to reject it. And a lot of people today reject the truth. They don't want to hear it. I want to go over into the fourth chapter. Maybe I believe I'll read the first verse and then the fourth and fifth here. And now it came to pass in the 72nd year of the reign of the judges that the contention did increase, insomuch that there were wars throughout the land among the people of Nephi. Did you notice what caused the contentions or the wars there? It was contention. Here there was contention, and it started, caused wars. And we know that there, as a rule, almost all wars is started because of greed of one type or another, or for power, which is the same thing. And it came to pass that in this year Nephi did cry unto the Lord, saying, O Lord, do not suffer that this people shall be destroyed with a sword, but, O Lord, rather, let there be a famine in the land, to stir them up in remembrance of the Lord their God, that perhaps they will repent and turn unto thee. And so it was done, according to the words of Nephi, and there was a great famine upon all the land, among all the people of Nephi. Now, fortunately, we haven't seen this happen to this degree. Now, last year, we began to see what just a little bit of the withholding of the water could do. Many places in California seen it a lot plainer than we did. But we know what the power of the Lord can do. And we know that He has done it in times past. And I pray that if this ever comes to pass, that we will be aware of it, and that we will have previously been living righteous enough that the Lord will see fit to bless us and direct us and keep us from these great famines. Or at least provide a way to preserve us, which He surely could do. But I think that it would take quite a bit of righteousness to do it. Down in the 9th verse it says, And it came to pass that the people saw that they were about to perish by famine, and they began to remember the Lord their God, and began to remember the words of Nephi. You know, when a person starts to be hungry, they start to remember those things pretty quick. I don't know how much of a famine it would take in this country to turn the people about. We know that there's been great famines in other lands, in India and China, and places like this, and it hasn't had much effect. Probably because of several reasons. To begin with, the people never knew of the Lord at all, and there was no one to tell them. Someday, possibly, they will know. And if they're living a righteous life, these things will be averted. Down in the 12th verse, And it came to pass that when Nephi saw that the people had repented and did humble themselves in sackcloth, he cried again unto the Lord, saying, O Lord, behold, the people repented, and they have swept away the band of Gideon from among them, insomuch that they have become extinct, and they have concealed their secret plans in the earth. Now, O Lord, because of their humility, wilt thou turn away thine anger, and let thine anger be appeased in the destruction of those wicked men whom thou hast already destroyed. O Lord, wilt thou turn away thy anger, yea, thy fierce anger, and cause the famine, that this famine may cease in the land. We'll go down to the 20th verse here and see what happened. And it came to pass in the 76th year, the Lord did turn away his anger from the people, and cause that rain should fall upon the earth, insomuch that it did bring forth fruit in the season of fruit. And it came to pass that it did bring forth her grain in the season of grain. And behold, the people did rejoice and glorify God, and the whole face of the land was filled with rejoicing. And they did no more seek to destroy Nephi, but they did esteem him as a great prophet, a man of God, having great power and authority given unto him of God. And behold, Lehi, his brother, was not one whit behind him as to things pertaining to righteousness. So here was two great men that probably had a great effect on those people. And had they not strived with great diligence, I have no idea what would have happened to those people. And that is one thing where the people of the Church of Christ, I think, come in. Because likely, we have a greater work to do than anyone else, that we might show other people the ways they should go. And oh, that we had enough power that when we spoke to people that they would understand and they would believe. And someday, I'm sure that'll happen. I want to read a few verses out of James, the 5th chapter. I could go back and read the whole story in, I believe it's the 17th chapter of Kings, but I'm just going to read this little bit here, beginning in the 17th verse. Elijah was a man subject to like passion as are we, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth for a space of 3 years and 6 months. I don't think that any of us have ever seen such a thing as that. We've seen places where it's been dry, but there's always been a little rain. But it said it didn't rain for a space of 3 years and 6 months. But all of us can remember that story where he was fed by the ravens and where the widow woman took him in, and as they prepared the food from the little bit of meal and a little bit of oil, that they was able to eat and have food to all of this famine. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth a sinner from the error of his ways shall save a soul from death and hide a multitude of sin. Now this is what Nephi was able to do. He was able to go in there and can tell them people what was happening. They would not listen, and the Lord intervened and caused a famine. And then they remembered and heard it, or remembered these words, and they were converted. Sometimes the Lord has to take drastic steps to accomplish his purpose. But when he does this, and the people hear, it can cause such a great, great blessing that people can't even imagine it. I want to read a verse out of the 4th Nephi. I guess a couple of verses. There's only one chapter. I'm going to read 17, I believe, through 20. And there, just previous to this time, if we will remember, the people had become wicked again, and there were many, many of them destroyed. But then they heard the word of the Lord, and they believed it, and they started living righteously again. And it came to pass that there were no contentions in the land, because of the love of God which did dwell in the hearts of the people. There wasn't any contention because of the love of God. Now this would indicate that we should have quite a bit of love, wouldn't it? And there was no envyings, and no strifes, nor tumults, nor whoredoms, nor lyings, nor murders, nor any manner of lasciviousness. The people were just pretty good, weren't they? And surely there could not be a happier people among all the people who had been created by the hand of God. There were no robbers, no murders, neither were there Lamanites or any manner of ites. But they were one, the children of Christ, and heirs of the kingdom of God. Pretty well telling what people could have if they lived righteously. And it's very important that the people of the Church of Christ, as whatever they can, let other people know about the blessings that can be had by believing in the Lord. And by doing that, we've got to live a pretty good life. I think that is the number one thing. The lives we live is the best sermon that we can preach. But we've also got to tell people what we think, too, when the time comes. But we have surely got to be a humble people, and we've got to strive to keep all those commandments He promised, or He gave unto us, that we might have those promises He's offered unto us. And it's my prayer that we might become more humble from day to day and more righteous.